is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly update and deep dive into issues involving the COVID-19 pandemic. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer making another appearance with us. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yesterday, the Douglas Public Health Network put out something that was kind of a message from you and from public health in general that was titled, Now is the Time to Get Your Shot. And I know as this has evolved with vaccines, there have been a lot of comments, a lot of questions, obviously some political controversy in all of that. It sounds like you're still hearing from at least some people that are hesitant to get the vaccine. Talk about that.
Well, we are hearing from people who are hesitant, and they're hesitant for lots of reasons. You know, they don't want to be first getting it. They worry about side effects. And I think now we have enough experience with the vaccine that anyone who's been hesitant should get past it and get their vaccine.
Now, talk about the safety, the effectiveness of the vaccines.
So this vaccine was extensively tested before it went out. And since it's been out, over 100 million people in the U.S. have gotten the vaccine. And when they've gotten the vaccine, they've been very carefully followed for side effects. I will tell you, everybody is out there looking to see if there's something that we can say is coming from these vaccines, and we just have not been able to find any side effects. And now the first people who got this are 6 months out. We're not seeing any new side effects there. We're seeing the vaccine is still effective. So if you're hesitant before, I think you can move past that hesitancy and get your vaccine.
Now, does the vaccine prevent asymptomatic infection?
Well, when the vaccine was first tested, they did not look for asymptomatic infections, but in the follow-up data, they did, and it does seem to be very good at preventing asymptomatic infections. So, for example, they looked at people who got a vaccine and then later on went on to have pre-op testing for surgery. They had other groups that swabbed themselves every week looking for infection, and the vaccine was not only very good at preventing symptomatic disease, hospitalizations, and deaths, but was also very good at preventing asymptomatic infection.
Talk about side effects. That's been a question that a lot of people have been wondering about.
Well, we certainly see some local side effects from the vaccine. So having gotten the vaccine, you can get quite sore. Sometimes people get a little bit of a flu-like fever symptoms in the day or two after they get the vaccine. We have some people who've gotten the vaccine and then a week or so later get a rash on the arm. There's some people who got the vaccine and get swollen glands after. But these are all minor side effects that resolve without any treatment. And so we've not seen any serious side effects here in the United States.
Now, I know it varies a bit between the three different vaccines, and there are different protocols. But I know if most people, when they are vaccinated, depending on the vaccine, there's a period of time where they want you to wait, stay in the room, stay in your car, whatever, just in case you're one of those few that does have some kind of side effect.
So there are some people who have allergic reactions. In the county, we've had three people who had moderate to severe allergic reactions. They all got treated and they've all recovered. And so we do, if you're going to have an allergic reaction, far better to have it where there are people around who can help you address it.
Now, of course, we cover information from around the world between our various programs here on KQEN. And there has been a question about the issue of blood clots in Europe.
Yes. So in Europe, they're using the AstraZeneca vaccine. And there has been some current concern about unusual blood clots in people who got the AstraZeneca vaccine. I want to point out that it has not been seen with the Moderna or the Pfizer or the J&J vaccine. But with the AstraZeneca vaccine, there are some people, mostly women, mostly people between 20 and 50, who've gotten unusual blood clots. Now, it's very rare, only a couple in a million, but still very worrisome.
And what about the variants? A lot of people who were vaccinated maybe towards the front end were feeling a sense of relief, and then the variant issue became something that got more attention, and now they're makes them a little nervous.
Well, it makes me nervous, too. So the variants are mutations of this virus, and some of those mutations make the vaccine work less well. However, the ones that are mostly circulating in the U.S., which is the B117, seems to be well covered by this vaccine. So the goal is to stop transmission of this virus because the variants only come up while the disease is widely spreading. So if we can get the spread of this disease down, we'll be able to stop the variants.
What about the long-lasting protection from COVID-19? People are now saying maybe 6 months, which some folks I think are not real happy about, maybe having to get another shot or a booster of some kind not that far down the road.
So what we know is that the vaccine has been out for 6 months, that people have been using it, and the vaccine covers at least 6 months. So it could be longer. It could be a year or 2 years or five. But right now we know it's at least 6 months. And another 3 months, we'll know that we'll know what the nine-month data is, and we'll keep looking at this. But the vaccine still shows loss of effectiveness at 6 months. And worrying about having to get a booster is no reason not to get the first dose now.
Some of the people I've talked to that are younger, even some that studied science early on, say, hey, I'm in my 20s or whatever. My risk of getting this or having impacts from it is very low. Why should I still get the vaccine?
So young people do seem to be less affected by the vaccine. People in their 20s and 30s rarely get sick enough to be hospitalized, and we've seen, thankfully, no deaths in that age group. But unfortunately, people in the 20s and 30s can, when they get the disease, spread it to others, especially seniors who may not do so well. So what we've seen in the last few weeks as more and more seniors get vaccinated is our percentage of cases of people in their 20s and 30s go up. And although people in 20s and 30s are typically don't get very bad disease, we've seen two very, very severe cases of people in their 40s. So we really would just like to get this to stop circulating, because stopping circulation of this virus will allow things to really open up.
Talk about the vaccine rollout here in Douglas County. You had a big event last Saturday. Go over how that went and talk about some of the future plans.
So we had the largest event ever in Douglas County last weekend. We gave 1,200 doses of the Pfizer and J&J vaccine. It went very well. No big troubles. The little traffic jam the last time we did this, but this one this past weekend was very fast, very smooth. People didn't wait in line very long at all, and the vaccine was delivered safely and effectively. So really, really a great event. In addition, Aviva is doing a number of events. I think today they're in Myrtle Creek. Tomorrow they'll be in Sutherland. Later in the month they'll be in Glide and Drain. In addition, we have a little Tiger team that's going out to really remote areas to deliver vaccines. So the vaccine effort in Douglas County is going very well.
What about more of these large-scale events periodically at the fairgrounds?
So at the fairgrounds, we're doing it every 3 weeks. Since the Pfizer requires a second dose 3 weeks later, everybody has now a time place to get their second dose. So we're doing these every 3 weeks at the fairgrounds. The Tiger team is doing four events a week, and Aviva is doing several events every week.
And I know Aviva right now passed the word mid-morning that for the event in Myrtle Creek today, the one in Sutherland tomorrow, that they will take drop-ins as well, and that appointments now are not required for that one. I've got a few minutes ago the newest data for Douglas County, 12 more people with new positive test results from yesterday. We've seen a downward trend. We're still in high risk. How are things looking?
Well, we've seen a downward trend, but we're still in high risk. Still, 12 is 12 too many cases for me. You know, we would really like to get down to a rate of about 1 in 100,000 per day, which would be for one or two cases a day in Douglas County. At that level, we could get rid of many of the other restrictions.
Where are some of the local cases coming from in the past week or two?
So mostly we're seeing now workplace outbreaks, school outbreaks, and church outbreaks. You've heard me say this now for 15 weeks in a row. So workplaces, schools, and churches. And again, overwhelmingly, these are coming in people who are not vaccinated. So when we look at workplaces, almost all of the cases are coming from not vaccinated people in the workplace. And among vaccinated people in those workplaces, almost no disease.
And I know I heard about one in another county in the last couple of weeks. I don't remember all the specifics, but someone who was not vaccinated, chose not to be, went on a trip during spring break, came back, ended up catching it while they were gone, didn't know it for a few days, and then because of their job, ended up impacting a whole lot of people and putting dozens in quarantine.
Well, that story is all too familiar, so again, we're really, really pushing people to get vaccinated, because after you've been vaccinated, your chance of getting disease is less. If you're exposed, you don't need to quarantine. There are so many advantages of being vaccinated.
Going to take a break and more when we come back with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, our guests live from Wildlife Safari, Executive Director Dan Van Slyke and others. We're going to take another one of these kind of walks through the village, some of the other areas of Wildlife Safari, to tell you about some of the things that are going on there. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. Just talked about the local cases statewide when the risk level numbers came out yesterday. We had several counties go from moderate to high. Several counties go from high to moderate. A couple go from extreme to high. And seems like we're just on a big roller coaster. Talk about the overall state information.
Well, we are on a roller coaster indeed. And in fact, many counties went up and many counties went down. We're on a roller coaster because this disease does spread in clusters. It spreads in workplaces or at churches, and you can go from very few cases to a lot of cases very quickly. I think overall, Oregon is doing well. The number of cases overall in Oregon is going up a little bit, so we do need to be very careful about that. Hospitalization, which is our best measure of the disease, are also going up, and that's worrisome, especially at the time when many of our seniors are vaccinated.
Now, are some of the numbers we're seeing now, does that tie into the front end of spring break?
It does. So we are seeing a number of cases related to spring break. Certainly the colleges are starting to see, as kids come back, that they're bringing disease with them from other areas. Just today, it was published some of the variant analysis, and the Southern California variant, which is a worrisome variant, is now in Douglas County, is now in Oregon, not yet in Douglas County, but is in Oregon, and we believe it came from Southern California.
Now, I saw earlier this week the state of California plans to drop all restrictions in June. Are the cases really dropping there that much?
Well, I think if you read more carefully into that, it says if a few things. So if we can get a lot of people vaccinated, if we can bring the case count really down, and if the variants don't take over, then we can open up. And I think the same is going to be for Oregon. I mean, again, if we could get our cases down to where we were at our low port last fall, we could open up things and we could get rid of lots of restrictions. But to do that, we're going to need to get a lot of people vaccinated.
Well, talk about the overall U.S. picture.
Well, the overall U.S. picture is very unusual. There are a lot of places in the country that are really very quiet, like California and Oregon, and then other places which are just steaming hot, especially Michigan, Minnesota, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. So those areas have had a tremendous amount of disease. The rest of the country, not so much.
And do we know why that is?
Well, what happens is disease gets settled in an area. It starts to spread in that area. And then once it spreads in the area, it is like a wildfire. The little outbreaks start to coalesce, and you start to have widespread disease.
Talk about the world picture overall.
Well, the world picture is also worrisome. The rest of the world is clearly in another wave of this disease. And the number of cases in the world is almost back to where it was in the peak over Christmas. So that's very worrisome. We're seeing a lot of disease in Europe, again, mostly related to variants, a lot of disease in the Middle East, and a lot of disease in South America. We're also starting to see an increasing amount of disease in India. And India is very worrisome because of the large population and the huge amount of crowding.
And all these countries have different ways of addressing restrictions, different forms of health care, different forms of government. I mean, there are a lot of the variable factors there outside of the disease that probably impact how some of this is being handled.
Yes. What this impact has shown is that there is no one way to handle this. There are as many ways to handle this as there are different governments. So if you look in the U.S., there's at least 50 different ways to handle in each state. And then within each state, then there's another 20 or 30 ways of handling it. So we've had thousands of different approaches to to this disease, which makes it really hard to know what's going on.
And it's interesting. I know a number of folks around the country. Some live in Oregon during much of the year. It's been the winter in warmer places, and catching up with some of those folks, being fairly familiar with talking to you and seeing all the data every day from Oregon Health Authority and from the local data, pretty familiar with the procedures and how things are done. And I've been surprised a number of times when somebody will talk about how a clinic was handled in the state they're living in during the winter or things like that. So there's not always a commonality to exactly what some of the procedures are.
There's very little commonality. Testing, vaccination, treatment all varies tremendously from area to area.
And in fact, in one case, someone I am aware of who did get COVID-19, they've since recovered. In the county they were in the state they were in, there was no contact tracing at all. Never got a phone call. Nobody was interested in who they'd been around or anything.
Right. There's a tremendous difference in the way it's done, even within the state of Oregon. So Douglas County has been good in its contact tracing. We traced every case from the very beginning. Mostly because we have an incredibly dedicated staff who work nights and weekends to get that done. Yeah, we've done a lot of contact tracing, and I think it's shown we have a relatively overall low rate of disease and a very low rate of death in comparison to the rest of the country.
Now, you've hit really hard today on reasons why you think folks should be vaccinated. I know in the past week, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention put out sort of guidance for people who have been vaccinated, especially if their extended family or friends that they're around more often generally have all been vaccinated as well. Talk about that.
So being vaccinated is great. And one of the greatest reasons is that you can now more safely do other things. So, for example, if you're vaccinated and another family you know is vaccinated, you can gather together without any social distancing. If you've been vaccinated, you can be around your grandkids who are low risk without using social distancing or masks. And if you are vaccinated and exposed, you don't need to quarantine. This week, the CDC said that if you're fully vaccinated, the travel is much safer and routine travel other than for emergency purposes is considered to be acceptably safe. So traveling, visiting with grandkids, going out to dinner with friends, that's a great reason to get vaccinated.
And for travel, did they change it in terms of, because I know some places that you might go, the place you're going to land in may require that before you leave the state you're from, that you have a positive COVID-19 test. Does that change a bit if you could show that you've been vaccinated?
Well, again, it varies with each state, but in many places you can show either a negative test or that you've been fully vaccinated.
Now,
and so that's a good reason to get vaccinated.
And also, I believe it was yesterday, the CDC put in information out on sanitization. One of the things that happened when all this began is people started cleaning offices, work surfaces, public places, things like that, going through these sanitization wipes and sprays and everything. It sounds like there's been a little bit of a shift there.
Yeah, what we've recognized is that you don't really get this disease from the walls or the ceilings. And so there was a lot of early effort to wash everything hundreds of times a day, and we found that that really is not necessary. So you can get rid of the wipes and whatever else. The only time you really do special sanitization is if there's somebody you actually has COVID-19. But this obsessive cleaning of door handles probably you can get rid of.
Now, of course, one of the things is you may have someone come in who doesn't yet know they're positive. And so at least if you've done that and maybe taken that extra step, you're being maybe, an extra step of being proactive in case somebody does happen to pass through your workspace, et cetera, that is positive.
Perhaps, although the CDC has thought that less than one in 10,000 cases can be traced to an article called a fomite. That almost all of the cases we're going to see are going to be either aerosol or droplets.
Just about out of time. What about summer activities? What's possible? I know the Oregon Health Authority now has still got lower occupancy guidance for even outdoor activities.
Well, we're hoping that many of the outdoor activities can continue. So we know outdoors is many times safer than indoors. So outdoor activities, except that there's extreme crowding, are thought to be relatively safe. So I'm very much hoping that we're going to have an arts festival, a Pepsi float, and a county fair.
And is that going to be one of those things where it may shift either way depending on how things look by the time we actually get to summer?
Yes. So quite obviously, if we had a lot of cases like Michigan is having now, we would need to have more restrictions. But if we stay on the good trend we're doing and more people get vaccinated, we could have a great summer.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.